Investing in real estate. Asking why people invest their money is like asking why fools fall in love. The answer to these complex questions is simple. People will risk it all for future returns, whether that return is the love and affection of their partner or the yield on an investment vehicle. The primary goal of every investor is to receive a return on their investment. Investors want to create wealth and achieve financial independence. So, they devise an investment strategy and put their money to work for them. There are many different investment strategies available for small, medium, and large investors, including stocks, bonds, commodities, mutual funds, certificates of deposit, real estate. What is real estate investment? Real estate investment involves purchasing, holding, renting, and selling real property for income and appreciation. Since many investment options are available at all risk levels, what makes real estate such a popular investment option? Investors purchase property for income and appreciation. Real estate is a tangible asset that some investors understand better than something like trading in commodity futures. Its mere physical presence is somehow reassuring. However, it can often be an expensive and risky investment strategy. Real estate investment has a high potential for appreciation over time, and many investors like to purchase properties that can generate passive income during a specific holding period, after which they can hopefully sell the property for a gain. Like the stock market, the key is to buy low and sell high. Investors who want to avoid incurring the expense of purchasing, operating, and maintaining an investment property on their own can invest their money in a real estate investment trust, REIT, that buys income-producing properties like office buildings, shopping malls, and hotels. Just like other investments, supply and demand affects real estate value. All investing is a function of a risk-reward ratio. Many individuals decide to invest in real estate because the returns are potentially much higher than the interest paid on savings accounts or CDs. Private individuals typically invest in smaller income properties, such as single-family or small multifamily rental properties. The property's income is sufficient to pay the mortgage, and they often have some left over as profit. Every day, private investors often do not have the ready cash to invest in large commercial properties. Because the cost of a large commercial property is so high, only certain groups can afford to buy it. Large commercial real estate companies have international contacts who represent individuals, corporations, and investor groups who can afford to purchase expensive high-end properties. Investors often form businesses to purchase and manage investment properties. The most common business entities include sole proprietorships, partnerships, joint ventures, corporations, real estate syndicates, real estate investment trusts, and limited liability companies. Types of real estate investments. Investment properties come in all shapes, sizes, and price points. There are investment opportunities available for almost every level of investor. The cost of an investment property often determines the type of investor who can purchase it. For example, large commercial properties usually require significant capital to purchase and are cost prohibitive for a single private investor. Categories of investment property include residential real estate, commercial real estate, and raw land. Each category has its own subcategories with their own challenges and benefits. There are three main types of real estate: residential, commercial, and land. Residential real estate. Many real estate investors begin their journey by investing in residential real estate because there is generally a steady demand. With over 44 million households residing in rental housing, there is a large market of renters who need a place to live. Residential real estate is any real estate designed to house individuals and families. The beauty of investing in residential real estate is that there are so many different options for investors to pursue, including single-family homes, multifamily homes, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and so on, triplexes, fourplexes, townhomes, condominiums, cooperatives, apartment buildings. Lack of liquidity is considered the main disadvantage of real estate investment. Investors who purchase residential real estate to rent to tenants become landlords. America's residential landlords fall into two classes. Individual investors. These investors are typically mom-and-pop investors who purchase single-family homes, duplexes, triplexes, and quadplexes to lease to tenants. And business entities, LLCs, partnerships, and corporations buy up multifamily inventory like apartment buildings. Single-family residential. Single-family residential conjures up visions of standalone homes with private yards and picket fences, the American dream. However, the government includes townhomes, duplexes, triplexes, and quadplexes in its definition of single-family. Single-family is not solely a detached home, unconnected to a neighbor. It can also mean a home that is attached to its neighbor. The single-family designation also applies to prefabricated modular homes. However, manufactured homes, once called mobile homes or trailers, are not considered single-family residences. Did you know? Single-family homes are classified as those that include ownership of the land and the building, do not share utilities if more than one dwelling unit, are separated by a ground-to-roof wall if more than one dwelling unit. The term single-family does not refer to families only. A family may include a couple, roommates, or even a family of one who resides under one roof. Individuals who invest in a portfolio of single-family residential properties typically do so because their traditional investments, like stocks and CDS, are not realizing the desired return. They purchase individual homes during market downturns. Many are foreclosures, renting out residences for income while holding on to the investment for future sale. These investments can be suitable for those who understand the need for consistent and effective management, and those who do not overextend themselves financially by buying more properties than their pocketbooks can manage. During depressed real estate markets, a steady stream of renters want the benefits of living in a single-family home, but cannot afford it, or do not want the headache of taking on a mortgage. Single-family rentals typically appeal to renters who want a quieter, more private existence than that afforded by multifamily and apartment living. They may have families that require more space and/or a backyard to play in. These renters are often in it for the long term, meaning that single-family residences can see less turnover than multifamily and apartment properties. Many investors find it lucrative to buy single-family homes when the market is depressed and rent them out for income. Investors who purchase multiple single-family homes do so to grow their real estate investment portfolios, earning rental income while holding the property and expecting a nice return on investment when it is time to sell. Multifamily residential. Multifamily residential properties are those with five or more housing units. More adventurous investors with access to large amounts of capital invest in these properties, whereas individual investors own over 70% of single-family residential rental properties. Most multifamily properties with 25 or more units are owned by for-profit business entities. There are many reasons for this disparity, including the cost of developing or purchasing multifamily properties and the cost and time of managing them. The cost of such an endeavor is beyond the means of the average individual investor. The income streams generated by multifamily properties are generally larger than those collected from single-family properties. Instead of collecting $1,500 from one single-family property, a multifamily investor with five fully rented units at $1,500 collects $7,500 in rent. A multifamily investor with a fully rented 25-unit property at $1,500 a month would collect $37,500. One of the primary reasons investors purchase multifamily properties is for the cash flow they generate, which is more reliable than that of a single-family property. If one tenant in a 5-unit building moves out, the investor still receives a steady cash flow from the other 4 units. Suppose a tenant moves out of a single-family home. In that case, the property will not cash flow until the investor finds a new tenant. Commercial real estate. The total value of commercial real estate in the United States is estimated at around $11.5 trillion. The sheer size of the commercial real estate market in the United States means that significant opportunities are waiting for savvy real estate investors. Because of the high cost of large commercial properties, only certain investors can afford to buy them. These groups might include private investors, pension plans and credit unions, life insurance companies, life companies, hedge funds that deal with real estate. Commercial real estate is often defined as any real estate that is not residential in nature. This definition includes office, retail, industrial, hospitality, leisure, and special use properties. Office properties. The demand for office space is affected by employment in the corporate sector. Companies need to lease office space in office buildings or parks. These include companies in the following industries: finance, technology, real estate brokerages, and insurance, among others. There are several ways to categorize office properties, including location, quality, size, height. Office buildings are generally ranked A through C. Class A buildings are newer high-end builds in prime locations with state-of-the-art amenities. They can command high rents from their tenants, who are willing to pay for the cachet of the address. Class B buildings were generally Class A level when they were built. They show signs of normal wear and tear, but are typically well-maintained. Their desirable location and good visibility attract professional companies willing to pay mid-level rent for office space in a decent building. Class C buildings are older buildings in less desirable areas. Though they are often outdated and display signs of deferred maintenance, they are ideal for businesses on a budget that cannot avoid the high rents of Class A and B properties. Some markets may recognize the declassification. Class D buildings generally are well over 30 years old in the least desirable areas, with obvious signs of deferred maintenance. Real estate investors considering office buildings need to understand their particular market. Building quality is subjective and depends on the market. Since the quality and location of the building directly affect the type of tenants, owners need to pay attention to marketing and screening processes and charge rent accordingly. Investors must consider aesthetics, construction standards, elevators, parking, entry lobby security, on-site professional management, building systems technology, HVAC systems, and common area improvements. Retail properties. Many real estate investors purchase retail properties and lease space to retailers that sell goods and services to consumers. Common retail tenants include clothing, sporting goods, bookstores, furniture, grocery, and drugstores. Tenants can also include restaurants, coffee shops, banks, salons, bars, etc. Any business that offers a good or service can operate out of a retail property. Just as there is a great deal of variety in potential tenants, there is variety in commercial retail property, including everything from small freestanding stores to large enclosed shopping malls and restaurants. Commercial retailers rely heavily on demographics. They must determine whether or not they will meet an area's needs and choose locations based on race, education level, household income, and number of children per household of area residents. Retailers want to know traffic patterns, location and signage visibility, and the ease of ingress to and egress from the parking lot onto the main road. They will also want information on the other retailers in the center in case there is a potential competitor. The primary benefit of investing in shopping centers is the high returns, typically between 5 to 20% annually. Retail properties, especially those in prime locations, have a high potential to appreciate in value. Investors who buy low with minimal capital investment can sell high later to other investors or property developers. Investors also enjoy a reliable income stream from stable tenants on long-term triple net leases that help the investor cover the cost of owning the building, including taxes, maintenance, and insurance. Tax benefits, including deductions for depreciation, mortgage interest, maintenance, and repair costs, and the ability to defer capital gains through a 1031 exchange are also attractive benefits. Because investors depreciate property improvements, they cannot deduct improvements and renovations immediately, but must deduct them over time. There are some downsides associated with retail investment, primarily the costs of the initial capital needed for purchase and those of maintenance. HVAC systems are costly to replace. Also, all retail businesses are tied to the economy. When the economy is in a downturn, sales will fall. When sales are down, the shopping center owner receives less rent because the leases are tied to the retailer's gross sales. Another downside is negotiating retail leases with tenants. For example, many restaurants want a non-compete clause in the lease specifying that no other restaurant can open in the strip center, or, at the very least, that no other restaurant can feature the same or similar menu items. Industrial properties. When people think of industrial properties, they often think of manufacturing, storage and distribution, production lines, and research and development. And they are correct. Trade and consumption are the primary drivers of demand for industrial real estate. Most of the world's products and goods are conceived, created, stored, shipped, and received from these industrial properties. Nations' economies depend upon the exportation and importation of their products to the global market. For this reason, industrial properties in markets near seaports, airports, railroad hubs, and trucking routes are usually in high demand and make excellent investments. Industrial real estate is not one size fits all. There are different categories of industrial real estate and different types of industrial structures. Industrial properties fall into one of three main categories: general purpose, special purpose, and single purpose. General purpose is also known as warehouse space. General purpose industrial buildings are flexible spaces that can be adapted and configured for various uses. Ideal for distribution centers, these buildings feature large open floor plans with flat, durable concrete floors and high ceilings, allowing for different configurations of high shelving racks for storage and picking. Special purpose. These light industrial properties are highly specialized, unique buildings constructed around a specific purpose that often present many limitations on use, making them challenging to market. Special purpose buildings are usually designed for a particular manufacturer. They may be outfitted with industry-specific equipment that is virtually useless outside its intended industry, such as refrigeration, cold storage buildings. These are often associated with light industrial as they function well for producing smaller consumer products. Single purpose. Single purpose buildings fall into the heavy industrial category. Designed and purpose-built for one specific type of industry or company, single purpose industrial buildings can present issues for their owners. The only tenants likely to lease space are firms in the same industry. Examples of single-purpose properties include chemical production plants and manufacturers of large, heavy products. Industrial properties can be clustered in multi-tenant industrial parks with between 5 and 50 different flex units. These industrial parks offer a combination of office and storage/manufacturing space. Other industrial properties might occupy large acreage off a major trucking route or near the railroad, airport, or seaport. Tenants are more concerned with the property's functionality than aesthetics and amenities. Like most investment real estate, the primary benefit of investing in industrial properties is the steady rental income it produces. Industrial tenants typically relocate less often than other tenants, which helps maintain occupancy rates. Industrial tenants maintain their facilities, so the property owner has fewer day-to-day management headaches. Of course, investing in industrial properties has downsides, including its dependence on the economy and the logistical concerns of location. Industrial properties lacking access to major thoroughfares or transportation hubs will typically not perform as well as those near train lines, airports, or ship channels. Other risks exist, including cost, obsolescence, and vacancy, particularly for special purpose and single purpose properties. Land. Investors generally purchase raw, undeveloped land for appreciation only. They believe that the area will develop for residential or commercial use in the future. Because raw land provides no income, the investor must have the financial ability to hold it, possibly for an extended period. Vacant land is typically categorized as raw land, land without improvements or access to utilities or roads. Raw land typically costs less than other properties because it lacks access and utilities. However, it is generally more difficult to find financing because lenders consider it a risky investment. After all, its use is undetermined. Unimproved land. Unimproved land lacks improvements. However, unlike raw land, it may have access to roads and some or all utilities. Lenders prefer unimproved land over raw land because it is easier to hook up to utilities and generally takes less time to develop than raw land. Improved land. Improved land has access to roads and all utilities, yet lacks structures. Improved land is more expensive than raw or unimproved land. Because there is more demand, lenders prefer improved land because it is ready to go, and borrowers will likely begin building quickly. Investors who purchase raw land for appreciation do so with the understanding that it is a long-term investment. They try to buy land at the right time, often when the market is down and prices are lower. The idea is to hold the land until the market swings upward so they can sell it for a nice profit. An investor who buys raw land can generate cash flow by leasing it to farmers, wind energy companies, or communications companies. They can even build cabins or park trailers on the property and list them on Airbnb or VRBO. The sky is the limit as long as they verify that the use falls within acceptable usage, according to local zoning and land restrictions. Some investors purchase and hold raw land as a tax shelter. The property taxes are less expensive than those of developed properties. Only the land is taxed because there are no improvements. Investors can also garner some tax exemptions by using land for agricultural purposes during the holding period. Real estate investment income and expense. Operating expenses are deducted from gross income to determine the net operating income, NOI, of the property. Consider a property with a gross scheduled income of $180,000 per year with operating expenses of $125,000 per year. Gross income, $180,000. Operating expenses, $125,000. Net income, $55,000. Operating expenses, OE, can be fixed and variable. Fixed expenses typically do not change from month to month and include insurance, property taxes, management fees, etc. However, variable expenses can change from month to month or year to year: utilities, materials, etc. Loan payments of principal and interest are not included as operating expenses. The NOI of the property is the income, cash flow, that the owner receives from the operation of the property. The net income is the income that can be used to make loan payments, assuming that the property is financed. The net income of a property is a significant determinant of the value of the property. One measure of a property's value is its income capitalization rate, or cap rate. The capitalization rate is the rate of return a property will produce on the owner's investment. It is found by dividing the net income of a property by its value or sales price. Net income divided by sales price equals capitalization rate. Real estate investors purchase property for a return on investment. They can use the IRV formula to calculate the value of an investment property, find the income, or reveal the return on investment. Example: what must the value of an income property be if the gross annual income is $95,000? The yearly operating expenses are $31,500, and the investor wants a 9% return on investment? Step 1. Find the NOI. $95,000 minus $31,500 equals $63,500. Step 2. Divide the NOI by the desired cap rate. Answer: the value of the property is $705,555.55. Tax benefits. Investment in real estate includes certain tax advantages, including tax-sheltered income, favorable capital gains tax treatment, deferred taxation on exchanges. Tax advantages are considered the main incentive for investing in real estate. Tax-sheltered income. Consider the $55,000 net income from the example above. The owner of the property will incur an income tax liability on the income. However, the owner's tax obligation will be reduced because IRS rules allow an owner to depreciate the property over its expected economic life. Under current rules, residential property is depreciated over 27.5 years. Commercial property is depreciated over 39 years. The property is at the end of its economic life when the improvements are fully depreciated. The depreciation of the property is calculated on a straight-line basis as follows. Because land cannot be depreciated, an allocation must be made for land and improvements. An investor might purchase an office building for $540,000. The value of the land was determined to be $108,000. The annual depreciation is calculated as follows. Acquisition cost, $540,000. Minus land $108,000 equals depreciable improvements, $432,000. The office building can be depreciated over 39 years under IRS rules. $432,000 divided by 39 equals $11,077 per year depreciation. This depreciation expense will shelter a portion of the taxable income as follows. Taxable income, $55,000. Less depreciation, $11,077, equals net taxable income, $43,923. While this may appear to amount to free money, annual depreciation has tax consequences when the property is sold in the future. Capital gains tax. The sale of a capital asset can result in either a gain or a loss. A capital gain or loss is realized when a property is sold. The gain or loss on the sale of real estate is far more than a simple calculation of the sales price minus the original purchase price. The calculation of capital gain requires that the seller's basis in the property be determined. The basis is defined as the dollar amount that the IRS attributes to a property for the purpose of calculating annual depreciation and the gain or loss on the sale of a property. The capital gain on the sale of a property is calculated by subtracting the adjusted basis from the net sales price. The investor's basis in a property begins with the initial purchase price plus allowable acquisition costs, closing costs, etc. Purchase price, $500,000. Acquisition cost, plus $40,000, equals net sales. Price, $540,000. Over time, the investor may make capital improvements to the property. Capital improvements like recreational facilities and additions to buildings increase the investor's basis in the property. Capital improvements plus $95,000. Adjusted basis, $635,000. The investor has taken annual depreciation of $11,077 per year. Depreciation reduces the investor's basis in the property. After 7 years, the investor's basis will be adjusted as follows. Less depreciation, 7 years times $11,077, negative $77,539. Adjusted basis, $557,461. Assuming the property is sold after 7 years, this adjusted basis will be used in calculating the capital gain or loss for income tax purposes. When the property is sold, the net sales price must be calculated for tax purposes. The net sales price is equal to the sales price less allowable costs of sale, such as commissions and title expenses. Assuming the property sold for $680,000 with sales costs of $54,000, the adjusted sales price would be sales price, $680,000. Less expenses, minus $54,000, equals initial basis, $626,000. Now the capital gain can be calculated for tax purposes. Net sales price, $626,000. Adjusted basis, -$557,461 equals capital gain, $68,539. If a seller agrees to finance the sale for the buyer, seller financing, the transaction may qualify under IRS rules as an installment sale. An installment sale is a sale of property where the seller receives at least one payment after the tax year of the sale. If an installment sale is used, only the profit on payments received is taxed, and interest is taxed as ordinary income. Residential income property is depreciated over a 27.5-year period using straight-line depreciation. Commercial income property is depreciated over 39 years using straight-line depreciation. Land can never be depreciated for income tax purposes. Only improvements can be depreciated. Let's see how this works on a residential property. A property was purchased for $560,000. An allocation was done, assigning a value of $410,000 to the improvements and $150,000 to the land. Since this is a residential property, the annual depreciation is $410,000 divided by 27.5 equals $14,909 depreciation per year. The benefit of the depreciation expense is that it reduces the taxable income of the owner. The economic life is the period during which improvements contribute to value or are being depreciated. 1031 exchange. When investment property is sold, it might create a tax obligation in the form of a long-term capital gains tax. If the seller wants to defer the payment of tax to a future date, the IRS permits tax-deferred exchanges. Real estate investors can defer taxation of capital gains by making a property exchange referred to as a 1031. In most cases, the properties being exchanged are of unequal value. Additional capital or property included in a transaction to even out the exchange is called boot, and the boot is taxed at the time of the exchange. To qualify for a tax-deferred exchange, the investor must hold the property for at least 1 year. Tax on sale of personal residence. An individual could have a tax-free capital gain on the sale of real property up to $250,000 if the property were his or her principal residence for at least 2 of the last 5 years. This rule also applies to an individual who chooses married filing separately for his or her income taxes. The limit is $500,000 for a couple. A taxpayer can do this an unlimited number of times. Other income tax strategies. A homeowner can deduct property taxes and the interest on a mortgage. The homeowner can also deduct discount points and prepayment penalties on loans. The owner of a single-family home can depreciate the property if it is used as a rental property. Remember, only the improvements can be depreciated, not the land. Importance and benefits of real estate investment. Individuals invest in real estate for several reasons based on their financial goals. Most investors in real estate have one or more of the following objectives: for the income, the rents and other fees from income-producing properties like single-family homes, apartments, retail centers, and office buildings provide real estate investors with a reliable cash flow and passive income. The purchase of mortgages is considered a real estate investment and is an example of an investment that provides income only. For the passive increase in the value of a parcel due to market forces, called appreciation, the primary goal of investing is to receive a return on investment. Real estate's value increases because the market, in general, is appreciating. Appreciation is attributed to increased demand for housing or a lack of supply, scarcity. Almost all parcels of land have the potential to appreciate in a rising market, resulting in a nice return on investment. This return on investment allows investors to build wealth. The investment in raw, undeveloped land is generally for appreciation only. The investor purchases raw land, anticipating future residential or commercial development in the area. Because it provides no income, the raw land investor must have the financial ability to hold the land, possibly for an extended period. For the increase in the value of a parcel of land due to the activities of the owner/developer, this investment gain occurs when a developer takes a parcel of raw land and turns it into a subdivision or shopping center. When the developer sells the homes in the subdivision, they realize a gain on the investment. For the ability to depreciate residential and commercial real estate for tax purposes, investors can depreciate residential and commercial improvements, creating a tax shelter. A tax-sheltered investment allows investors to save money by reducing their tax liability. For the hedge against inflation, during periods of inflation, the cost of goods and services increases while the value of a dollar decreases. Real estate investors can use real estate as a hedge against inflation by raising the rent every year, or by building periodic rent increases into the rental agreement to keep up with rising inflation. Investors who own commercial income properties can pass the rising costs of insurance, maintenance, and taxes onto their tenants using a triple net lease agreement. While some investments lose value during times of inflation, real estate typically helps investors increase their income during times of rising inflation. For many, property ownership is a sign of accomplishment. Investors have pride of ownership and can create generational wealth for family members. Many believe owning property is the basis of all wealth, and owning something you can call yours means you have finally accomplished the ultimate benchmark. To use as collateral for a loan, investors can use their property as collateral. When investors use real property as collateral for a loan, they grant the lender the right to take the property if they default on the loan. The property serves as the security for the loan, so lenders are more apt to lend to higher-risk individuals. In a real estate secured loan, the lender places a lien on the property that it will not remove until the customer pays off the loan. Generally speaking, lenders want the property to have an equity value that meets or exceeds the loan amount. In plain English, most lenders require the borrower to own the land free and clear, or have a lot of equity in it. Home equity loans, second mortgages, are a form of real estate secured loan. The homeowner can borrow against the equity in their home. The more equity the homeowner has, the larger the loan amount. Home equity lines of credit, HELOC, are similar loan products that allow a homeowner to take out a line of credit based on the equity in their home. A HELOC works similarly to a credit card in that the borrower has a line of credit with a limit based on their home's equity. Some investors take out home equity loans on their investment property to purchase another investment property. Because it is a tangible and recordable asset, investors who purchase real estate can visit it, see it, touch it, and walk around it. Even though commodities are physical assets, most people will never see the bushels of corn or barrels of crude oil they invested in. Not only can investors see and touch their real property, but they can also record its ownership. Recording ownership alerts the world of who owns it and who has the rights associated with its ownership. Some investments may satisfy one, two, or all three of the investor's objectives. An apartment building generates income and may appreciate over time or as the investor improves the property and applies sound management practices to enhance its value. The investor can also depreciate the improvements to the building over time, reducing his or her tax liability. Did you know? While investing in real estate has certain undeniable advantages, the most common being income, appreciation, and tax savings, it also has its disadvantages, including the lack of liquidity. Perhaps the biggest disadvantage of investing in real estate is its lack of liquidity. Liquidity addresses the ease with which an investor can convert an investment into cash. Real estate investments lack liquidity because it takes time to market, sell, and close on a property. A person's money is locked in a real estate investment until they refinance it or sell it. If there are no interested buyers, the investor must hold on to the real estate until someone emerges with the resources to purchase it. The expense. Real estate is expensive, and investors need the capital to purchase it. The typical real estate transaction involves an option fee, earnest money, loan origination fees, inspection fees, recording fees, legal fees, if applicable, broker fees, prorated taxes, title insurance, and other closing costs. Buyer investors can pay 2 to 6% of the property's purchase price. When selling property, they can pay up to 10% of the sales price if responsible for the broker's commissions. There are also the costs of property taxes, mortgage payments, and insurance during the holding period. Ideally, an investment property will pay for itself, but there is no guarantee. The need for management. Maintaining an income property is expensive and time-consuming. An investor who owns an income property is responsible for ensuring that it generates the income necessary to continue paying for itself while still making a nice profit. Investors with several income properties or just large properties often employ the services of a property manager to keep up with regular maintenance and to keep the tenants happy. Legislation and zoning restrictions. Local government's authority to pass and enforce building and zoning codes profoundly impacts the types of development allowed within a municipality. The authority granted to counties, cities, school districts, and special taxing districts affects real estate development and property values. Each state, county, or jurisdiction has its own building codes regulating the construction and alteration of residential dwellings and commercial buildings. Building codes apply to all types of commercial and residential structures. For example, all residential structures, whether site-built or modular, must conform to the code. Investors who own rental houses or apartments must comply with national, state, and local fair housing laws. Those who own commercial buildings must comply with the ADA and have all required permits and certificates. The need for a holding period. Real estate investors must be prepared to hold a property for at least 5 years, perhaps more. Remember, real estate is a long-term investment that is not immediately liquid. Rarely does an investor purchase an investment property only to turn around and sell it 6 months later for an extraordinary profit. Indeed, many investors buy income properties in a depressed market when no one else wants them. No one wants to pay top dollar for an income property. They hold the property through the market correction and sell it later for a profit when the market is up. Environmental issues and property hazards. Investors must be aware of environmental hazards that pose risks to the successful operation or sale of an investment property. Issues like radon, asbestos, mold, landfills, or lead can be costly to manage and correct. Investors must do their due diligence before purchasing any investment property. A host of unsafe conditions can increase liability for a property owner. Electrical issues, gas leaks, and environmental concerns are just a few problematic issues owners and their tenants can encounter. Owners must ensure that their properties are safe to be occupied by tenants, as they could be held liable for any accidents connected to unsafe conditions or owner negligence. Investors must also consider that a property can sustain damage from events like tornadoes and floods. It could be vandalized or burnt to the ground. Investors must carry insurance policies to minimize the financial risk associated with these events, which adds to the expense of investing in real estate. The ever-changing marketplace. Many factors affect the real estate market, including physical, economic, governmental, and social forces. Economics affects supply in that the monetary policies of the Federal Reserve and the fiscal policies of the United States Congress, governmental forces, affect the availability of funds in the marketplace. A policy that results in an abundance of funds to be loaned at low interest rates affects the supply of real estate. Buyers' changing tastes, social force, affect demand, which in turn affects value. Real estate values fluctuate regularly. Neighborhoods that were popular 10 years ago lose value, while once unpopular neighborhoods become the new hot place to live. While the real estate market is volatile, it is less volatile than playing the stock market or investing in commodities. The lack of homogeneity. One of the physical characteristics of real estate is that it is non-homogeneous, meaning that no one piece of land is exactly the same as another. The heterogeneous nature of real estate means that each unique investment property performs differently. The renters, monthly rent, operating expenses, and management plan are all different. One investor can own 10 rental houses in the same subdivision, and depending on size, view, and condition, each one could have a different gross potential income and a different vacancy rate. Real estate investment syndicates. When two or more parties join together to create and operate a real estate investment, it is called a syndicate. Rather than being a form of ownership, a real estate syndicate is a method of raising funds for the purchase of a real estate investment. For the investor who may not have sufficient funds or credit to purchase a property, the syndicate has historically been a method in investing by purchasing shares or units in a syndication. Real estate syndications may be organized as a limited or general partnership or a corporation. An investor in a syndication does not initially receive title to real property. Because title does not pass, the syndicate is considered to be a securities investment and therefore is under the jurisdiction of state and federal securities laws. Laws vary from state to state. Most states require some form of registration of the security. Additionally, registration with the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission is required. If the shares are offered for sale to more than 35 persons, or if the shares are offered for sale across state lines, because of the complexity of securities laws, real estate syndicates are not as popular today as they were in the past. Most of the benefits of a real estate syndication can be achieved with fewer regulatory requirements by organizing the investors in a limited liability company, LLC. Real Estate Investment Trusts, REIT. The Real Estate Investment Trust is an investment vehicle created by Congress in 1960. The legislation's goal was an effort to make it possible for small investors to invest in larger commercial properties by purchasing shares in the organization that owns the real estate. This legislation requires a minimum of 100 investors in a REIT. Today, there are two forms of REIT, equity and mortgage. These are very broad classifications that can be further broken down into subcategories. An equity REIT purchases commercial property, such as office buildings, apartments, and self-storage facilities. The REIT collects rents from tenants, pays operating expenses, and then distributes 90 to 100% of its net income to investors in the form of dividends. The equity REIT also pays its investors the gain on the sale of real estate in the form of dividends. The goal of the equity REIT is to give the smaller investors a return on investment similar to that received if had they owned the property directly. The mortgage REIT invests in mortgages or mortgage-backed securities and distributes the bulk of their income to investors as dividends paid from the income on the mortgages and the sale of mortgages. A hybrid REIT also exists as a combination of equity and mortgage REITs. Hybrid REITs allow investors to receive revenue from both rental and interest income from commercial properties and mortgages. Public equity and mortgage REITs are listed with the Securities and Exchange Commission and may be unlisted or listed on a major stock exchange. Brokerage firms sell unlisted REITs, REITs, may also be privately held. Did you know? Investors who do not want to incur the expense of purchasing, operating, and maintaining an investment property on their own can invest their money in a real estate investment trust, REIT, that buys income-producing properties like office buildings, shopping malls, and hotels. REITs can be an excellent starting place for beginning real estate investors, as they can get started by investing as little as $1,000. There are more than a dozen types of REITs specializing in every sector of the real estate industry, including residential REITs, office REITs, retail REITs, self-storage REITs, and timberland REITs, to name a few. There are three types of REITs: public REITs, private REITs, and non-traded REITs. Public REITs are the easiest to join, Investors can purchase shares in public RIITs for a nominal monetary investment. Private RIITs are not publicly traded and are generally only available to accredited investors with a minimum net worth or income. Non-traded RIITs are not traded on public stock exchanges, but must register with the SEC. REITs have historically provided competitive returns and have performed well. By law, REITs are to distribute at least 90% of their taxable income to their shareholders as dividends every year, so investors will receive dividends. However, REITs are intrinsically tied to the market and affected by increased interest rates and changes in demand. Investors can purchase shares of publicly traded REITs on the major stock exchanges. They can also buy shares in a REIT mutual fund or ETF, exchange-traded fund. Many 401ks and pension plans also include allocations for REITs. Consult a financial advisor to find out more. Some advantages of REIT are high returns / low risk, portfolio diversification, capital appreciation, liquidity of shares versus real property, properties managed by professionals. Some disadvantages of a REIT subject to market conditions, reliance on debt, paying for rising property taxes, 90 to 100% of income is dividends, not reinvested, must pay professional management fees. Real estate mortgage investment conduits. An investment in a mortgage is considered to be a form of real estate investment. While most investors are not inclined to make direct loans to borrowers, a real estate mortgage investment conduit allows for the indirect investment in mortgages through the sale of securities. A real estate mortgage investment conduit buys pools of mortgages. The mortgages may be of a particular type or level of risk. The real estate mortgage investment conduit holds the mortgages in trust for the benefit of investors who purchase securities secured by the underlying mortgages. The mortgages purchased by the real estate mortgage investment conduit may be secured by residential property, commercial property, or both. The legal form of the real estate mortgage investment conduit is generally not relevant as they are taxed, much like a partnership under IRS rules. The repayment of the principal and interest of the secured mortgages is channeled through to the investors, based upon the type of security purchased. The underlying mortgages may be prepaid early or may go into default and ultimate foreclosure, because the repayment of the principal and interest of the secured mortgages is unpredictable. The tax consequence of investing in a real estate mortgage investment conduit is likewise unpredictable. The two largest issuers of real estate mortgage investment conduits are Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Real estate mortgage investment conduits are complex investment vehicles with important tax consequences. Ordinarily, sophisticated investors who understand the risks and rewards purchase them